The date is today. This is February 16th, and this is See God in Everything.
Good evening. Yes, here it is. Rushing right through this month. We had Valentine's Day and the whole thing. And we will continue with our topic, which is to see God in everything. So, Rhoda, if you will turn to Christine and say, I am changing, I am changing, I am changing now.
I am changing now.
Why is that so important for us to do? Because we have to make that statement that we are changing. Everyone is waiting around for somebody else to do something for them or to notice that they're changing. People are too busy doing things to notice that. You have to notice in your own self that you are changing. And you make that statement, and then you do something about that statement. And why do we want to make that statement? I am changing. We do the other thing. Remember, I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. Well, you have to change into those things that you want. You see, we're always changing. That's the most marvelous thing about this teaching and about this life that we're having. And when we say that God, see God in everything, see God everywhere and in everybody, God is always changing. Remember the statement, God makes all things new? God's always making something new. God's always changing. You see, if God has been around forever and a day and is going to be around forever and a day from eternity, throughout eternity, by now, if God didn't change constantly, don't you think God'd be a little bored? You see, you have to change all the time. People who don't change are bored. Not only that, they're boring, you see. But the world outside wants to tell you that this is what you do. You stick with something, and you stay that way the rest of your life. You have to know that you can change, and that you are changing. As you're sitting here, right now, on these chairs, you are changing. Inwardly, you are changing. Because as you sit here, hundreds of thousands of cells are dying in your body. Hundreds of thousands of cells are dying in your body. Now they have to change you in somehow. New ones have to come in to replace those. So if you know that resurrection is always going on inside of you, that things are always changing inside of you, that there is nothing constant inside of you, then the next step is to realize that you can take these new cells, call them baby cells if you wish, and you can mold them into what you want. The same way a parent takes a child and raises a child, you take your cells and you do that with yourself. How do you do that type of thing? You do it with the thought atmosphere that you're having. If you say, I am poor and I am this and I am that, I'm not feeling well, or whatever you're saying to yourself all the time. Why these new cells are being born, they're being born into that thought atmosphere. You're saying, that's why sick people stay sick. Because they say, I'm sick. So as the new cells are born, the new cells hear, I'm sick. They're born into that thought atmosphere. So what thought atmosphere is going on inside of you? Is it one of health, vitality? Is it one of abundance and prosperity? You see, you're the one that's doing that. And then you realize that you can take that and you can shape it. You see, we're always creating ourselves. No one else is creating us. And no one outside is creating you. And nothing outside of you is creating anything. It's all done from the inside and works outward. It's done with your thinking. That's why it's so important to realize that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. So if you have that always as the premise for your life and the premise for your thought atmosphere, then when the new cell is coming into being, it is living in that atmosphere. So it has to reshape you in some way. It has to reshape you in some way. So we're always changing, whether we want to or not. You cannot. You do not have the same stomach that you had last week when you were here. You know, your stomach replaces itself. The lining of your stomach replaces itself every 5 to 7 days. Every 5 to 7 days. Your whole body is renewed. In less than 5 years, there's not one part of you that hasn't changed. That's your bones, that's everything. Everything. Why is that so? Because God makes all things new. God makes all things new. They're discovering more and more of these. They say it took 7 years to completely redo the body. Now they have that down to 5 years. But your eyes are constantly, all the cells in your eyes, changing. Everything in you is changing. So if you know that all the physical stuff in your body can change, you don't have the same liver you had last year. You have a liver. It's not the same liver. You see? It changes. It's dying off, resurrecting, building, all. So if you realize that physically, that your insides are doing that, what do you think you can do with the outside of yourself and with your life itself? You can change it. You can change it. You have to realize that this universe that you're living in is pliable. It's amenable. You can mold it and you can shape it. But we get rigid ideas of who we are, and then we stick with them. Remember my little saying, don't have a point of view. Have many points to view. Have many points to view. See, anytime that you come up with a viewpoint or an opinion, you come to a conclusion. And when you come to a conclusion, you stop yourself from developing any further. Because you conclude, this is who I am. You conclude, this is the way things are. You see? Then you can't move out of that. So don't come to any conclusions of who you are. First of all, none of us know exactly who we are. We just have an idea of who we are. We have an idea when I say all that I am is God, that I am not all that God is. Each and every one of us has a different idea of exactly what that means. Very hard to comprehend that. Do I comprehend it? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But I keep working on that because I know I can change it. I know that I can change anything that comes into my life. And I know that I can change myself. I can change my thinking and my attitudes towards anything. I can change my perspective. So you have to realize that you are changing. And have a willingness to do that. But don't allow that small part of your mind called the ego to say, no, this is who you are, and this is who you're going to be the rest of your life. Everyone in your family was this way, so how do you think you're not going to be this way? You see, you can't allow your mind to do that to you. We are talking about something here that is vast and that is unlimited. But we want to limit everything. We want to know. So we take the mystery out of it. Don't take the mystery out of your life. Don't take the magic out of your life. Think of how wonderful it is to know that you're changing all the time, that there's something wonderful going on inside of you. And then allow that to go on the outside of you, too. The wonderful passage in the Bible is, it came to pass. And what that really means metaphysically, it came into existence to pass out of existence. Anything that's in your life right now is there to go out of your life. But you see, we want to hold on to everything. We want to keep everything. Now, that doesn't mean that every relationship and all, they last. You can make them last. If you want, you're changing. You're creating that. But don't get stuck in that idea. Oh, here it is. It came to pass and I have to put up with it. You don't have to put up with anything. Let it go. Just watch it go right out of your life. But we don't want to cling to all these things. And we can't. We can't cling to anything. You see. If you have an idea in your mind that you're not worthy or deserving or totally lovable, work on that. You're the one who has to decide. No one else is going to do that for you. It's nice. It's very nice to have somebody say, geez, I think you're wonderful. But what if no one ever says that to you? Are you going to start to think, I'm not wonderful? So you have to say to yourself, I'm wonderful, and then you have to know that. You have to know that you're wonderful. You have to know you're participating in a wonderful life. That this is a grand experience that you're going through. It's not just chance and accident. It's not just a biological fluke that we are here on this plane of action, participating in these things we call our life. Darwin would like to tell you that it's the evolution, that we just evolved out of this big biological soup and so forth. I'm asking you to change your minds about that. That is one theory. If you want to use that theory, that's all well and good. But it's like the old thing. If that's not working for you, why do you keep using it, you see? This thing called evolution. Yes, there is such a thing called evolution. But you have to know that now you have reached a point in your own consciousness where you can participate in evolution. We are causing evolution to continue. The other thing is to remind yourself that you are an intentional species. Intentional. There's nothing accidental about it. You see, you can't say that there's this thing called God, this thing called a creator, and then think that this whole thing was just an accident because of a biological fluke. That yes, because there's water here on this planet, because there's carbon here on this planet, because there's this, that all the chemicals that are needed for life are on this planet, that it was just an accident that they all got together and voila, there you were. You see? You have to know that you're an intentional species. What does that mean? That means that God created you for a wonderful purpose. And what was that purpose? Well, not only to enjoy this plane of action that you're on, but to realize that you truly are one with this thing that created you, that all you are is God. But you are not all that God is, you see. So you can participate in the creation, in the creation of yourself. And you can come to realize that you truly are a creative individual. And how are we creating our lives? With this thing we call mind or consciousness. And with this wonderful tool we have called our imagination. You see, we have to know those things about ourselves. We have to know those things about ourselves. So it boils down again to knowing that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I wanted to talk a moment Because this question often comes up, that the more that you get into this teaching, the fewer people that you have, and that you lose people around you. And I have often said to you, I have never lost anyone since I got into metaphysics or religious science. I have added people to me. But the people that I have known all my life, I still know. Do I talk to them about this? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But the reason why I bring this up is, my college roommate is with me at the present moment, came to visit the other day. He's staying till Wednesday. I've known him for 40 years. He has no idea what metaphysics is. He has no idea what I do. Now we talk, and I set an example, and we talk about things, and he can say, oh, you've changed over the years, and this, that, and everything. But it doesn't mean that we can't have a conversation. It doesn't mean that he's no longer in my life because he's not of the same mindset as I am. In fact, he doesn't go to any church anymore. He was a very staunch Lutheran. But he was, like many people, fell out with religion and has never found anything to replace it. But he's a wonderful human being. You see, you can be a wonderful human being and you don't have to be religious and you don't have to be spiritual. But the point I'm trying to make is, you don't have to lose people. Now, how does that happen, that you don't have to lose people? Well, so many people, when they get in to this teaching, then they want everyone to think exactly the way they think. And they want everyone to be of like mind. There's variety out there in the world. Remember the saying, in my Father's house there are many mansions? You have to be able to look at all those mansions. And here again, this is my way of doing things. There are other ways to do things. Many points to view. He has a different point of view than I have. Does that mean that we can't be friends? No, that does not mean that. Am I afraid of him, or is he afraid of me? No. You see, I don't particularly care what other people think. The most important thing is, what am I thinking? Because what other people think is none of my business. And what other people think is not going to influence me in the least. It's what I think that influences me. And it's what you each think. That's why you make this thing an individual thing. We say that you're an individual expression of God. And we have, we're with the topic that we have this month, see God everywhere, see God in everything, and see God in everybody. Now, do I say to this young man, my college roommate, well, I can't see God in you. You see, God has to be there, expressing differently. That's all. You see? Well, many people, when they find religious science, they become superior. And they think, oh, now I know exactly how to think, and I know how things are done, and I know the law of cause and effect, and I know this, and aren't those people funny and silly out there? No. You can't. Don't do that. You have to see God in everything. When those people are ready, they will change. They will change. But I have so many things and so many good times and memories with my college roommate. Why would I want to give that up because he's not a religious scientist? Because he doesn't know metaphysics. Aren't there many more things in life than that to talk about? So, we just don't do that. Now, he knows this, and he gains a great deal when he's around me and so forth. So, little by little, the pieces, he'll learn something and change, or he won't. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So, when you think of those things and you think, well, if I get into this teaching and I'm thinking this way, then I can't be around people who think differently. No, you can learn a great deal from being around people that don't think like you. And if one thing that you want to learn about that is, it makes your thinking better. Because you see the contrast. And you don't have to change them. Change you. You see, we can't change anybody else. We can only change ourselves. So use each person that comes into your life as a lesson to learn something from. not to ridicule and make fun of. I'd like to do that, but you can't. Just look at them and say, everyone is doing the very best they know how to do. Everyone's doing the very best they know how to do. And that's what you have to remember. So I also said that I was going to do these mind alerts, meaning what's going on in your mind when you do this. Now you see, I call my college roommate Nord, would you like to come to the class tonight? Now he knows I do this class. And he said, no, I don't think so. I let that go. Now, my mind wanted to say, well, he's not supporting me. He's known me for 40 years. He has no idea who I am. He has no idea what I teach. Wouldn't he be enough interested? I could get very angry and throw that all out of the hell with him. You know? No, why do I want to do that? You see, that is a choice. That is a choice that you are making all the time. So you have to listen to what your mind's saying. And I said, looked at him and I said, you know, I think that's wonderful. Take a walk, do whatever you want. Open up the refrigerator and get the food and all. He said, well, you know, I can take care of myself. I said, I absolutely know that you can take care of yourself. You see, he doesn't have to be here. The only reason I would want him here is to show off so that my ego would get a few strokes. Hoping that he would say afterwards, Dallas, I never knew you were so good. I just never knew that. Do I need to hear that? I have to know that I'm good, you see. So you just listen to what your mind is doing to you all the time. And you start to change your thinking about things. We live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. That mind of God is loaded with possibilities. And you can choose any possibility that you want. Any possibility that you want. How many people here have seen Mamma Mia? Well, Rod gave me that CD for Christmas. And I watched it the other night. And at the very end, she's getting married, she's doing all this, and she wants to get these fathers together and all. And she says to the young man that she's going to marry, I did this, I brought all this. And he said, without talking to me? And she just looked at him, and he said, well, then, are you telling me that the only reason why we're having this wedding is because you wanted to get your fathers together, and that means you don't love me and all, and you just this and that, blah, blah, blah. I said to myself, why is he going down that road? Why is he going down that road? Because his ego, it's all about him. Instead of saying, oh, I think that is a wonderful idea. That was great of you to have a wedding so that your fathers would show up and you could pick which one you wanted. And then the whole thing takes on a different thing. You see, it's a choice. It is a choice. How do you want to react and respond to life? You're the one who decides that. So do you say, oh, you get all mad at her for doing that? That's a choice. You can do that. And you can destroy the whole wedding, or you can do whatever you want. Or you can say, and look at it differently, and say, I think that was a grand idea. You didn't have to consult me. This is wonderful. Of course, the movie would have ended, and it wouldn't have, you know, that wouldn't have been a good plot thing going on. But can you see in your own mind that to make a choice like that, instead of immediately, it means you don't love me. You see, you just did this. You never loved me in the first place. This is all a sham. All you wanted to do was have a wedding so you could get the fathers here. That was not her intent at all. That was not her intent. So it's always going to be a choice. How am I choosing to think? And how do I want to think about this? How do I want to think about this? So when we say this, look at this idea, that God is everywhere and we see God in everything, that also means to see the good in everything. To see the good in everything. I tell you the story about Robert Bitzer. He had the Hollywood Church of Religious Science, and he was 90-some years old. I knew Robert Bitzer. And here's what he said once. I do not make the best of anything. I make things the best. You see the difference in that? The choice is to see good in everything. The choice is to make something good. And to look for that good in everything. When you're looking for good, you're looking for God. When you're looking for good, you're looking for God. The outside world, what does it tell you? It tells you you must make the best of something. It tells you you must tolerate something. I'm telling you that's a bunch of bunk. You have to look at something and make it the best. This is how you create. This is how you change something. You do that. If you tolerate something or make the best of something, you are not changing it. You are not changing it. You're keeping the status quo. Which now brings up the other little statement that Gandhi said. Be the change you want to see in the world. You have to become what you want to see happen. So if you want to see lots of love in the world, if you want to see peace in the world, then that must start inside of you, and you must make that choice. You are always creating yourself, and you are always creating and expanding this thing called God. You're the one that's doing that. And you do that with this mind and with this imagination. God will become anything you want it to become. Why is that? Because there is only God. There is no other substance that you can build anything with. There is no other substance that you can change your life with. So if there is only this substance, I look at God as Play-Doh. And I mold it into what I want it to be. So, now I have a choice. Do I want to mold it into hatred and anger and bitterness, loneliness and all that? Or do I want to mold it into love and understanding? Do I want to mold it in to where I can look at something and say, I make that the best. I make that the best. And I want to become the very best person I know how to become. Regardless of any of these horrible handicaps that I keep putting on myself. Like that I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy enough, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, whatever that stuff is, give that up. And say, look, I am a creative individual. And I can create my life and I can create myself, my personality. You're not born with a personality, people. You pick that personality up as you grow. And you pick it up usually from all the people around you and from your parents and so forth. And yes, we're always going to have some of those traits. You don't have to keep them if you don't want to. See, the whole idea in life is to recognize, to become aware of what's going on. You must become aware and recognize what's going on in your thinking, what's going on in your mind. Once you do that, you can change that. And then you change what you are thinking. But always what you are thinking about yourself. What you are thinking about yourself. But the world wants to tell you that you're stuck with all these things. Don't do that to yourself. Know how powerful you are. Know how powerful you are, you see. And that's that part of changing. Does everyone get up in the morning and realize how powerful they are? Or do you just get up in the morning? So you have to get up in the morning and know, geez, I'm powerful. I can create myself today. I can create my own day, and I can do all this. These are the things that you need to know about yourself. But you have to take this thing called God and mold it into what you want it to be, you see. So are you molding it into love and understanding, or are you molding it into something else? Choices, 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 you see. I'm this way because of that. No, you're this way because of your thinking. You're always going to be the way you are because of the way you're thinking. We keep trying to get around that somehow, because we keep wanting to put the blame outside. We keep wanting to blame our parents. We keep wanting to blame our education. Whatever it is we want to blame. Right now, everyone wants to blame the economy for everything. The economy has nothing to do with anything. It certainly looks like it, and it's very convincing. But change your mind about that and have confidence in this economy. Have confidence. And where does that start? It starts with you. You must have confidence in yourself. See? Then you can start to change yourself. But you have to know that it is absolutely possible to change. You cannot change unless you know that that is possible. And we have that wonderful little tagline in religious science, which is, change your mind, change your life. Change your mind, change your life. You have to know that that is possible. You have to know that that is absolutely possible, so that you're not stuck with, this is who I am. I'll never get any further than this. I'll never be any better than this. Hogwash. You can become anything you want to be. You must use your mind. Use your mind. Use your thinking. And then look out on the world and see the world differently. See the world differently. Don't see it in this mess that's supposed to be going on out there. So you don't see with your eyes, remember, you see with your mind. So whatever is going on in your mind is going to outpicture in your life. You have to remember that you're always looking in a mirror, and that the reflection you see is the reflection that is created by your mind. If you can think of your mind not only as this wonderful computer and this powerful thing, if you can think here between your ears is a replicator, is a replicator. Your mind will replicate anything that you put into it. I'm sick. It will replicate that for you. I'm happy. It will replicate that for you. But it's always a choice. So if you know that, how do you know those things? How do we get to understand that? By detaching ourselves, by becoming a witness to what we're doing, by noticing and becoming aware. You see, the word enlightenment, which everyone wants to be enlightened, boils down to noticing. It's all. All that means is to notice what you're doing. An enlightened person notices what they're doing. They notice what they're saying. They notice what they're thinking. Most people don't. Have you ever seen somebody with a habit? When they're not aware. I was at a wedding on Saturday night. The young man at the table, completely unaware that he was doing that. Completely unaware that he was doing that. You see, you cannot become enlightened if you're unaware. You must notice what you're doing. And then change it if you wish. Maybe he likes biting his nails. It certainly didn't look very nice, because he had his hand in his mouth half the time. He doesn't notice it. Notice what you're doing. Most people's lies have become automatic. Don't allow yourself to become automatic. Don't allow yourself to think the same thoughts day in and day out. See? That gets very boring, doesn't it? It gets very boring. And it happens to me, and I tell my mind to stop it. You know, I thought that thought 30 years ago, and it keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. Why? Because we don't stop it. We don't notice it. I notice it and know it's going nowhere. And say, go back to the nothingness from whence you came. Give me a new idea. Think of something better for me. You see, you have to talk. I talk to myself all day. Of course, I live alone, so it makes it easier. But talk to yourself. Talk to this mind. Say, stop it. I'm not having that. You're the one who has to do that. No one else can do that. No one else can do that. But don't be afraid of your mind, and don't be afraid of all these things, and know that these are mechanisms, and everyone is doing that. The mind is easy to figure out. You just think it's complicated because it does all those little things. It can stop. People say, oh, will the mind chatter ever stop? Will the racing ever stop? Yes, it will stop when you tell it to. I say, oh, my mind just goes around and around and around and around. Well, did you tell it to stop? Well, no. Well, then it's going to go around and around and around. You're the one who has to stop it. Now, when it gets really bad, what do people do? Well, they either smoke something, they drink something, or they take a pill. That's not stopping your mind. Right? Going right on. Going right on. Like taking an aspirin, you think the pain stopped. The pain didn't stop. The threshold went up. Aspirin does not stop pain, people. It heightens your threshold to pain. The pain is still there. So, you take a pill to stop your mind. It's still spinning. You're just not aware of it. So what you want to do is learn to control your thinking. Just learn to control your thinking. But know that you can change. You see, most people know that, but they don't know that. You have to know that that's an absolute possibility. Absolute possibility. I can change. And then start changing. Take that action step. I'm going to start to notice this. You see. And then it will change. You'll start to change. But know that change is possible. And that you can change. And each and every one of you come here, and I see the changes in you. Now you have to see the change in yourself. You have to say and see that change and be proud of it and pat yourself on the back. You're the one that's raising you. No one else doing that now. You know, you're no longer living at home, I hope. You see? So now you're your own parent. So how are you going to parent? You see? You can blame it on your parents up to that point and say, oh, my parents didn't do a very good job. All right, that may be absolute true. So I said my parents were no day at the beach. But then you have to say, well, now I'm my parent. How am I going to raise myself? How am I going to treat myself? then start doing that for you. Start raising your own self. And start changing. Absolute possible. Alright, let me do some cards. Will you select the limited self which creates only out of the past? Or will you take the risk and dare to call in something vaster? The small mind only creates from the past. Only creates from the past. How many people think about the past all the time? Yeah, we'll stop doing that. I don't even remember what I did this morning. It's wonderful. Who cares? It's gone. Nothing you can do about it. It's gone. So, will you select the limited self? The limited self is the ego mind, which creates only out of the past. It cannot create from anything else, the ego mind. It doesn't know any better. So the only knowledge that it has, the only material that it has to work with is the past. Why do you think people keep repeating the past? Why do you think people keep doing the same pattern? Why do you think people keep having the same issues? Because they use their small mind. They don't use the vast. When you create something vaster, dare to create something vaster, you're creating from this bigger mind, from the mind of God. Then, how? How do you do this? State your desire with clarity. Feel the desire. Hold the expectation of its fulfillment. And then be open to the results. Doesn't that sound very metaphysical? Doesn't that sound very much like Emmett Fox? Remember? Clarity of thought, warmth of feeling, creates something. But they go on to use the clarity, feel the desire, hold the expectation of its fulfillment, and be open to the results. It's very important to be open to the results. People are not open to the results. So open yourself to this. Know that you live in a field of possibilities. And expect those possibilities to come true for you. Expect them to come true for you. A replicator. Your mind is a replicator. It reproduces what you're thinking. If you pay attention only to the senses, they will lead you to believe that that is who and what you are. Remember, your five senses never tell you the complete truth. Never tell you the truth, and yet we rely on our five senses to get through this world. Remember, we believe what we see. We believe what we see. Don't believe what you see. See what you believe. See the difference there? See? You must see what you believe, not believe what you see. You see with the mind, not the eyes. If you look down a railroad track, the tracks come together, do they not? Now, didn't your eyes just lie to you? But yet you say, oh no, I saw it. Must be true. All your senses lie to you. Your five senses. We have more senses than that, but we rely on these five senses. Very few people rely on intuition, which happens to be a sense. Because you're not taught how to use your intuition. You're only taught smell and feel and sight and those. Learn to open. Learn to know that you have more senses. Learn to know that you're bigger than you think you are. You see. At least be open to that possibility. How many people here know intuition? How many people here use intuition? You see. Start to use your intuition. Yeah, I hear people say, oh, well, I don't have any intuition. They have intuition. I don't have... You... No one can have anything that you can't have. No one can have anything that you can't have. If Casey has intuition, then I have to have intuition. Why is that? Because there's only God. There's only one. We all live, move, and have our being in the one mind, the one life, the one vitality, or the one intuition. He's just developed it. So you have to be open to the possibility that you can develop that. And then start asking for that. Start asking for it. That's all it takes, is to say, oh, I'm going to start working on my intuition. And then start doing that. Every time the telephone rings from now on, say, I know who's on the other end. And in no time at all, when the phone rings, you'll know who's on the other end. It's how you develop things. If you are not willing to create a new way of seeing, today is going to look exactly like yesterday. If you are not willing to create a new way of seeing, today is going to look exactly like yesterday. And you see many people go through life like that, and they think that is life. You know, that's that story of the man who says, don't tell me. I have 40 years of experience in this. He said 1 year repeated 39 times. 1 year repeated 39 times, yes. Many energy fields are extremely present for you to choose from. Many energy fields are externally present for you to choose from. So when you're looking out from your life, from any friend, from this, look out there and say that. Oh, there are all kinds of energy fields out there. That's that whole idea of all the possibilities. With God, all things are possible. We live in a field of total possibilities. We live in a field of all these different energy choices. Which energy choice do you want? Which field do you want to live in? You're choosing that all the time. Do not let your intellect be the only part of psyche to give you the answer. You see, we always think that this intellect is going to give us the answer to something. And we place so much emphasis on intelligence, on knowledge. And what did Albert Einstein say? Imagination is more important than knowledge. You must have an imagination. We wouldn't have anything new in this world if somebody didn't have an imagination. We'd still be living in caves. Somebody had an idea, oh, I think we could build a house. Oh, I think we could put this fire in an oven. Comes from that thinking. Your limited self cannot create limitlessness. You see. Your limited self cannot create limitlessness. You see, God is unlimited. And you must be unlimited. There's a quote from Schopenhauer, I believe. And it goes, most men take the limits of their mind for those of the world. You see, your mind is doing that. As far as you can stretch your mind, that's as far as your universe and your world is. So now you live in that, but you have to know that you can stretch that. You see, but we limit everything. And we think, because I can only think this far, that's all there is. You have to know that there's more to that. I have a friend, Joyce Reynolds. She said, my world is so big, so very, very big. And this is what you have to say to yourself. My world is big. My world is expanding. It's getting bigger all the time. Otherwise, your world gets smaller all the time. You have to keep expanding. You see, now we can prove that this universe is expanding all the time. If the universe is expanding, we therefore have to be expanding also. And this thing we call God has to be expanding all the time. Because God fills all space. So it has to be. So you have to say, I'm part of this expansion. I'm expanding. My mind's expanding. I don't have to think the same thought tomorrow that I thought today. I can ask for a bigger thought. And ask for bigger thoughts. And ask for bigger thoughts about yourself. Say, listen here. I want to really learn to love myself. I want to learn to enjoy myself. I want to learn to enjoy this life I'm living. And then start to do that. Start to do that. You see? Live at that demonstration. You have no idea how sacred every moment of your life is. Every moment of your life is sacred. You think only the moments when you are doing holy things are sacred. You have to know that every moment of your life is sacred. Even if you're bored, even if you're dull, it's a sacred moment. That's the whole idea, that you're always on holy ground. And some people think they're only on holy ground if they're in a church or some sacred place. You have to know that this whole world is sacred. That everything you touch is sacred. And you have to know that every moment of your life is sacred. And learn to enjoy it. Learn to enjoy every moment. Even when you're not feeling all that up. Even when you're feeling depressed or you're feeling sick or you're doing this. You have to know this is a sacred moment. And I'm delighted to be alive. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.